For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Good morning, buddy. Happy Tuesday. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington. And since it is Tuesday, it is Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We'll talk to fishermen in the second hour about all kinds of things, including quicksand. Jeffrey, did you see the Memphis Music Fest announced their lineup? Lots of lineups. I think we had the Live at the Garden announced last week.
That was last Friday, bro.
Last Friday. And now we have the Memphis Music Fest.
So I only saw this because my wife sent it to me, because she used to work for Kevin McInerney. And Kevin,
I see. Yeah. So widespread panic.
Yeah, that's a staple.
A staple of that particular.
Yeah.
And who goes to see widespread panic? What's your generic?
Dudes in their mid-40s.
White dudes in their mid-40s mostly?
Yeah.
Okay. How about, and then are you familiar with Father John Misty, Leftover Salmon, Galactic, Kevin Kinney Band, and Bloodkin? That's all Friday.
The only band I've heard of there is Galactic.
Okay. Then a Saturday, more widespread panic, and also the Flaming Lips.
Yes, of course.
And then you got Lucas Nelson, Mavis Staples, The Far Side, Puddle's Pity Party, and High Fade. And then Sunday, Tyler Childers.
So according to Aaliyah, mm-hmm. Tyler Childers is a huge country get, and to which I responded,
seemed like a big get.
I will take your word for it.
With Sierra Ferrell,
Ben Hogan texts me that he will be there at widespread.
Charlie Crockett, Lucero,
yep.
John Miller, Annie and the Caldwells, Amy Levere, and the Gia Welch Trio.
So I was proud of you for knowing how to pronounce Far Side.
I just went with, what's it called? What's
phonetically?
Phonetically. It says, it's spelled oddly, like Far Side, I think, of the cartoon, F-A-R-S-I-D-E. Yeah. But how else would you, if you're just saying it out loud, far, P-H-R-A-R, like far lap the horse, far, side, C-Y-D-E.
I think more of
the Far Side.
You just went right into it. And so I would have looked at it, I would have been like, I
could have skipped that one.
Yeah.
I could have skipped that one.
I think that's probably what I would have done.
Anyway, there you go. Memphis Music Fest. Go to memphofest.com to get your tickets. Go to grizzlies.com to get your tickets for. Is it grizzlies.com? Does that get you your tickets? To get your tickets for the Grizzlies game Thursday and Saturday night, because tonight we got game two.
Yeah, we do. Who's ready?
Let me suggest. That we have never had a game before where I could have offered you the way I sometimes do deals, right?
By the way, grizzlies.com/playoffs for tickets.
Grizzlies.com/playoffs.
Yep.
For tickets. Where I could offer you a loss and you might take it. Like, before I've offered you 4-1 on a road trip or 3-2 on a road trip.
But are you offering a highly competitive loss?
There's always, let me just tell you, like, there's always, let me tell you what my offer will be. But every other offer I've made, there's at least been a win included. You know, like, you can go 2-3 over the next 5 if they're particularly difficult.
We do the prisoner's dilemma here on the show.
I've never just offered you a loss and expected you to take. And so I was, on the way in, I was trying to think, what loss could I take? What's the highest margin of victory, of loss? I'm sorry.
What's the spread?
That you would actually sign up for. And it's very clear. It's clear to me. You don't have to weigh in yet. This is what I was thinking about. If I offered you a 2-point loss, you would 100% don't agree. I'm just speaking out loud here. Mm-hmm. You would 100% take it. I think you'd take a 4-point loss. I think you'd take an 8-point loss. So then I was thinking, would he take an 18-point loss? This is my thinking, like, just to avoid the possibility of a 30-point loss, right? We've seen it. Would he take a 22-point loss? Would he take a 16-point loss? And I think the place where maybe you have the biggest dilemma is it's got to be double figures, because I think you would take a 9-point loss.
Any single-digit loss I'd take.
You would take. Yep. So I was going to offer you a 10-point loss. That's what I finally decided. I got to get into double digits. So, Jeffrey, I am offering you, tonight the Grizzlies will lose by 10. Will you take it?
I think you have to.
Oh, God.
That's beating the spread by 4.5.
Okay, Jeffrey, I'm offering you a 16-point Grizzlies loss. Will you take it?
Probably not. Because then it gets into the question of what's that 16-point loss look like? Was it a 30-point loss that the fourth quarter the Grizzlies made it look respectable? Was that a 16-point loss in which it was, you know, hovering around?
You can't even argue that it was.
But you still got beat by 16.
You still got beat by 16, and you didn't cover.
Right.
You can't take it. Okay. What is at stake? What is at stake tonight and in the rest of the series? What is at stake for this Grizzlies organization? Because I think we all agree winning the series is not at stake. Like, the rest of a long playoff series is not one of the things that's at stake. They're going to lose this series. We knew that last week and the week before and the week before. If they got into this series, hell, it's what literally 2 months ago I said, you know what? I see this scenario that I just want to avoid. And this was the scenario. Mm-hmm. Literally, you were second at the time. Finish second, fine. Finish third, fine. Finish fourth, fine. Finish fifth, no longer home court advantage. Fine. Finish sixth. Fine.
Avoid the play-in.
Finish even seventh so you can be in the play-in and have a home game. And then
against the Rockets.
Whatever. Just don't finish eighth. If you finish eighth, what's going to happen is we're going to have this whole discussion about whether you should have missed the whole thing to begin with. And I think, by the way, although you and I both came down on the side of they should win Friday, what happens? I think it remains to be seen which will turn out to be better for the franchise. I think at the end of the series, depending on how it goes, we could look up and say, my God, they were much better off. If, for example, they get blown out definitively in 4 straight games, like blown out in 4 straight games.
Like they have been
and
all year
at the end of
team.
It, within the week of when it ending, you hear from either Ja, who could just raise his hand and say, I want out, or Jaren, who, you know, has a contract extension, will be on the table for him this summer, one shape or form, that he is not interested in signing or something like that, then you will look back and say, my God, it would have been better if they'd lost Friday.
So
what is at stake?
I think pride and momentum, maybe.
I think the future of the franchise. I don't know. We can't possibly know if Kleiman's job is at stake, right?
Yeah, because that's a Robert Pera question.
It's just a Robert. Right. Well, honestly, so is the Isolo. We can't really know.
Sure. Like, I think that's fair.
You can imagine, though, a scenario in which Kleiman's job is at stake,
yes.
Right? I mean, I can imagine if I were an owner right now, people are emotional people. right? You're emotional people. You get humiliated and humiliated again and humiliated again, and you're looking up and you look at what the Thunder have done. Now, this isn't fair, because literally the Thunder have been the best run organization in the entire sport, and maybe in all sports, in the way they have accumulated assets, right?
I think you could make the argument, because also they're playing with a disadvantage.
So to compare, to say, well, look what they did, is literally you're comparing yourself to the most successful organization in all of sports. It's like if you got, whatever. I used to do ads for Cooper Systems, right? Mm-hmm. And I could say, look at Apple. Well, okay, not Apple. Well, whatever.
I think it's a lot like, let's just keep it in the sports realm.
Yeah.
It's a lot like when Josh Allen will lose to Patrick Mahomes.
That's a little bit like that.
And everyone's like,
he's the best ever. Right. He doesn't mean you're slaw.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning would lose
to Tom Brady.
It's a better comparison. Like, so it's not fair, but I can imagine if you're an owner and you say,
well,
Hold on. You say, when Kleiman got the job, he had Jaren. Anyone would have taken Ja. So what's he done for me? He's drafted Dez. He's drafted Brandon Clark. And then he has utterly failed at putting good pieces around the big three, two of which he lucked into or was given. And, by the way, he gave Dez a massive contract, which is great, but he's no longer some great bargain. And I gave up two first-round picks to get Marcus Smart, another to get rid of him. Traded up to get Jake LaRavia, traded up to get Zaire. What in the world? Why am I signing on for this? Look what other teams do in terms of putting players around their best players, and look what I got. Maybe I'll let someone else try. I can imagine that, right? I'm not saying that's the full story.
The question that we don't know is how much we don't. The impression is that Robert Pera is largely hands-off, but we don't know that.
And it's also, by the way, here's the other thing. The counter to that argument, to me, is that in Memphis, the most important thing for a GM to be able to do is draft well.
Yes.
Because it is how you will get
your best players.
Yes. Every year, unless you trade your pick like you did this year, you will get access to the draft. It is how in Memphis you get good players. And Zach Kleiman and that group over there have been, yes, there have been misses, but fundamentally have been a fabulous drafting team. And so I'm saying I can imagine his job is at stake. I can certainly imagine that Isolo's job is at stake, right? And then I can imagine our sense of I don't know that Jaren's contract is at stake, because I think the Grizzlies are in a position where if he puts up four games like he did Sunday, they're still going to have to offer him big money.
Well, this, though, I do think is what would be interesting. So we didn't talk about it yesterday, but the NBA finalists for the awards came out on Sunday during the middle of the games, and so no one really paid attention to it. Jaren was not included in Defensive Player of the Year finalists.
Right.
So he's not going to win Defensive Player of the Year. The only mechanism...
Right, yeah, but I think most of us know that, and Chris actually wrote about this in his piece in Jaren Jackson Jr. that you can read today. It's over at the Daily Memphian. It's about how he's been in the playoffs, but it's also about the contractual situation. In order to be offered the Supermax, he will have to be third. Most people think his one avenue is third team All-NBA.
Yep.
No one thinks he's going to be on the first team. No one thinks he's going to be on the second team. And the third team is looking dicey.
Sure.
But that's
been
what
he's 2 months.
In.
Yeah.
Whether he makes first, second, or third team All-NBA, nothing, this series will not affect that. That voting is in, right? So, but how he is perceived will certainly is at stake here. Ja's future, I think, is it a little bit his own sense of his future, his own sense of possibility and all of that. So I think, hell, attendance for Thursday night certainly at stake, right?
100%.
And Saturday, like that, it could be. Listen, it was, as I said, I knew people who had sort of misgivings. Actually, I saw on Facebook, a friend of mine said, I'm not going to buy tickets Friday because I don't want to see the team lose. Turned out to be one of the most fun nights we've had in the arena.
Yeah.
So I do think, particularly game 3, even if they lose tonight, which they will, has the sense of a last stand. You know, it's the first home game.
Yeah.
So
if you're going to get one,
I hope people go out and get tickets for that and have a good time at the building Thursday, because that would be the one that you'd rally around. If you lose that one, then Saturday's just a farewell.
Yes.
Right, then it's just a chance. Then it feels just like a
really
farewell.
Is fan appreciation.
And it really is fan appreciation. Yeah, they'll give the shirt. They'll give you the jersey off their back at the end of it. Whatever. So that's at stake tonight. But I honestly, sort of the reputation of the franchise. You talked about pride.
Yeah,
and that is both internally inside the city, and it is also externally. What we've already seen is because you lose by 51, and what happens is people are going to start clowning you, right?
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, the same players who were getting lifted up 2 months ago or 4 months ago or whatever else are being this is my own personal hot take. We live in a hot take society, Jeffrey. That's my hot take.
We live in a take ecosystem.
What?
A take ecosystem.
We live in a take ecosystem, yeah. And it's not all bad, by the way. Opinions about things are... What makes a take a take as opposed to an opinion is if it feels like it's done for attention.
Yeah,
right?
Performative.
If it's performative and done in order to generate controversy as opposed to... I mean, every opinion is a take. But what makes a take as opposed to an opinion is because, well, why are they doing this? So we had a couple takes yesterday or in the last couple days in the wake of this about Grizzlies players. Just an example of the kind of thing that happens. Let's start with Kendrick Perkins on Jaren Jackson Jr.
Number one, y'all not going to win Tuesday. But number two, I believe Ja Morant, but I don't believe Jaren Jackson Jr. Let's have an uncomfortable conversation real quick.
Oh, goodness.
He is the most overhyped player in this league. He's not even a top 10 big in my eyes. And here's why I'm going at him. Forget the fact that you fired your coach 8 games left in the season and you need him to step up. Forget the fact that Ja Morant probably shouldn't be playing because he's taking shots every damn day to stay on the floor because we know how severe that ankle sprain is. Forget the fact that he is a former defensive player of the year. Forget the fact that he made an all-star team this year. Matter of fact, forget the fact that he had 4-3. Do you realize 43 was my jersey number in Boston? Do you realize 4-3 is what I average? You're an all-star, bro. They need you to step up at the biggest times. I don't care. It's a make-or-miss league. You're going to miss shots. But there's no way in hell that Jaren Jackson Jr. should ever leave a game without having double-figure rebounds and being impactful on the defensive side of things. So when I look at the Memphis Grizzlies and I look at this matchup against Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren, you got to impose your will. You can't have them switching Alex Caruso on you and you're settling for threes and you can't get 2 feet in the paint and punish them on these mismatches. When I think about him, yes, it is 10 bigs that I would take over him right now. He's an all-star. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's what you call a take, ladies and gentlemen. And there are elements of
I'd say it's a hot take, but
it's a hot take.
To me, I think what we're trying to differentiate between takes and hot takes.
Yeah, that's a hot take. That's a hot take. There were elements, listen, there were elements of this that were 100% accurate and fair. And indeed, again, if you go over to the Daily Memphian today, you can read Chris Harrington writing about Jaren's struggles in the playoffs. He has not generally been good enough in the playoffs. As a general matter, and he certainly wasn't good enough. So to say Jaren has to be better than he was Sunday, that's not a hot take. It's not even a take. It's just obvious, right? Of course he has to be better than he was Sunday.
I think Jaren would say that.
I think Jaren would say that. But maybe most of all, like of all the players who, they all had to be better, you know, except for Marvin Bagley. But the one who was most glaring in the way that he came up small Sunday was Jaren Jackson Jr. I think that is fair, and it's certainly fair to point out that that he's not been as good as he should be in the playoffs. To call him the most overhyped player in the league is ridiculous. I don't even know that he's hyped.
Yeah, that was my because this obviously broke hype yesterday afternoon. I was like, where's the overhype? Is it just because he won Defensive Player of the Year? But, like, I don't see him being part of the conversation.
They actually had Kendrick list his top 10, not even a top 10 big in the league, and he had to include Hartenstein. Like, it was a ridiculous list. You could get to 4 or 5, be arguable, with Jaren, 6, whatever. But once you get down to 10, it got to be a pretty thin list. But the larger point is, this is what happens. You're going to be called out when you lose by 51 and when you come up as small as he did, and you should expect that, and it's fair. And he's getting, literally, he's going to get hundreds of millions of dollars in his next contract. Okay, we had Stephen A. Stephen A with a take.
When people were making all of this noise about Ja Morant and his signs when he made a shot or whatever, all I said was, look, the league, I think it was much ado about nothing. Leave the kid alone. He's a star in this league. Let's see this brother playing. Let's stop bothering him. But the league says these are the rules. All right, follow the rules, Ja, so you don't have to draw their attention, right? So I just tried to throw that off, and I shoved that aside. Here's what I'm not going to veer attention away from. You lost by 51. Y'all down 50 and you on the bench laughing? Nah, I don't want to see that. I don't think anybody in Memphis want to see that. And why do I bring that up? Because when the Lakers closed them out, Shannon, a couple of years back, you remember this, when Dylan Brooks ticked off LeBron, and LeBron went and put on a show and sent them home, and they was blowing them out by 40 at Crypto, Ja Morant was smiling then. I know the brother is an elite competitor. I know he's a star. But people don't want to see you laughing when you're getting your ass kicked like that. You know what I'm saying? You want to see somebody ticked off, especially if you're a fan, because you're emotionally invested. And at that particular moment, it gives you questions. It provides a question mark for you as to whether or not that cat's invested. You got vacation plans already? Because let me tell you something, that ass kicking that Oklahoma City gave to you, all right, it doesn't show any signs of letting up. They may not beat you by 50, but it is not beyond the realm of comprehension that they could smoke you by 20 or 30 the rest of the way if y'all don't get y'all act together. You do not want to see the superstar for your team on the bench losing by 50 with a smile on his face.
What was your sense of that one, Jeffrey?
So I thought he had some interesting points in there. Honestly, on Sunday, I didn't really care. Like, in the sense of, what's he supposed to do? Like, we call it a laugher for a reason. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so Sunday wasn't one that bothered me. I will go back to, though, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I thought one of the weirder moments of the whole Ja Morant experience, after he got suspended, he came back. There was the Lakers game where they got beat, but he had 40. And post game, he's like hopping, skipping, jumping, whatnot. And I didn't like that, because in the end, that showed to me, it's like, I played well.
Well, I mean, in the end, my sense of most of this, that this kind of, this category of stuff, is I don't really care. I don't doubt that job. I mean, to Stephen A's point, he even said he's an elite competitor. I don't doubt that he wants to win. It has always been jarring for me. You grow up as a fan, and it matters so much whether your team wins or loses.
Sure.
It's jarring to me when I realize that the game's over and they live their lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean some don't burn. But, like, one of the most startling was to me was one of the Bills Super Bowls I covered. I was at the Anniston Star. Whatever one was in Atlanta, and it was close by, and I happened to cover it.
I think that's the Dallas one.
It was a laugher. It wasn't.
I think it's the one where you'll let it happen.
It wasn't wide right. Yeah. It was one where they got their ass kicked. And I remember walking into the locker room. Back then, we could walk into the locker room, and they weren't all broken up, you know? And as a Super Bowl, like some were, but I remember, like, Mike Lotish was a defensive tackle.
Sure.
And I remember he looked like he would just had another whatever else. Like, maybe internally he was dying inside, but I'm like, I thought of all my Bills fans back there in Buffalo and thought, you know, well, whatever. So in the end, I was much more upset about or disturbed by the way the team competed Sunday than I was by the way the team reacted as they didn't compete Sunday.
I agree with that.
And so, you know, but again, it's just an example. All these things, you can agree or disagree. You are going to be, and by the way, if you had lost Friday to Dallas, you would not have been a target. No one noticed, right? Whatever.
100%.
Dallas is in the playoffs. You know who would have been a freaking target? The Mavs and Nico.
Yes.
Like, they would have been. Thank God for them. Like, Nico had another presser yesterday. Just, each presser was worse than the one that came before. This one, he said, I knew that Luka was big in Dallas. I didn't know how big, or that was the essence of it, which is just crazy. He'd been there for 4 years. Didn't know what Luka meant. Here's the exact quote. I did know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know at what level.
I can't believe I'm about to take up for him, but here I go. I think as time has gone on,
he's gotten bigger.
No, I'm more and more convinced that this was an ownership thing, and he's the guy that has the.
It's funny. Tim McMahon did a piece.
Yeah, I read all that yesterday.
That didn't sound like an ownership thing.
No,
that sounded like I got my guys. Nico has his guys. He fired Dirk's trainer and whatever else, and there's been this giant schism in the organization, and he let that infect his view of the entire thing.
Yeah. I also think, though, it's possible that more times than not, when ownership-type things like that, it's done in the background.
Well, there's no question. The owner had to sign off on this, whatever else. Could have stopped it, signed off on it, whatever else. I have no problem. I don't want to get distracted by talking about this. My point is that if they had lost Friday, they would not have been a target. Now they are a target, and one of the things at stakes tonight is, can they be competitive? Can they show some pride? And that will matter in terms of the perception of this franchise, which still has the perception of being front runners, soft, all of the things that we saw 2 years ago in Los Angeles, right? And here we are again, and it's all coming up again. And it may be unfair. Oklahoma City may run through the entire playoffs like this. Memphis worked itself in to this matchup, which was unforgivable, given where they were, unforgivable to begin with. And now they have to live with the consequences. And it's up to, this is not a hot take, it's obvious, it's up to Jaren and Ja and Dez to make sure this damn thing doesn't happen again.
I mean, in the end, that's why you pay them.
If those three, Brandon Clark, I get no Brandon Clark, I get no Jalen Wells. If those three have to depend on a second-round rookie to make them look respectable,
maybe they're not that good.
Maybe they're not that good. We have always operated with this theory that, hey, if you at least have Ja and Jaren and Dez, you're going to be good. Well, go be good. Go be good. I, by the way, did yesterday ask on Twitter for the most humiliating Memphis losses ever in other realms, okay, either so Grizzlies, Tigers, footballs, et cetera.
Your examples that came to the top of mind when you tweeted it were the 47, the Arkansas State, was it 47-3? What was it?
47-3.
Yeah.
Memphis lost
that,
to Arkansas
That one,
State.
I think, gets left out, but that's a pretty good pull.
I think it's right there. I think it's right there. So others that, and then the other one I mentioned, and obviously it's an exhibition game.
Was there a UT Martin, Larry Porter?
Oh, so yeah, no. There was let me give you some of them.
All right.
Ready? See if anyone these. Right. Do you remember? I blocked it out. The 61-point loss to Charlotte by the Grizzlies? At Charlotte.
No.
Well,
year?
Google it.
Okay.
Google it. One of our readers or listeners mentioned that loss. A Golden State Christmas Day.
Yeah, that
was bad. That was bad. Particularly, you get the moment. Someone pointed out that Memphis and this.
Also, don't forget that was right after Ja said we're fine in the West.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Then you had the
2018. Kemba Walker had 46.
Yeah, I Googled it. Someone said Kemba just scored again. You know, one of those things. You know, so
Dwight Howard had 30. Wow,
is 2018?
This was March 22nd, 2018.
Okay, someone pointed out that in 1966, I think it was, the University of Memphis lost to the Quantico Marines.
That's a thing?
Yep.
That happened?
Yep, that happened.
For real?
Okay, now there's someone said 4th and 27, and I know what that is reference to. That's a Memphis football game where they were on the verge of qualifying for a bowl game, and Cincinnati, I think it was, converted a 4th and 27 and then went and won the game. Different category. That's a painful category. That's not a humiliating category.
Yeah.
If you're talking about painful categories, there are others. That's the national championship game.
Sure.
Some people mentioned that to me. No, not
you're talking pure embarrassment.
I'm talking embarrassment, not pain. There's a different embarrassment is pain. There's a
no, but you, I know exactly what you mean.
Those circles do overlap, but I'm not counting 4th and 27, and I'm not counting the national championship game, and I'm not counting the foul, the Arkansas Memphis, where the foul was called, and was that Elite Eight or Sweet 16? That was before my time. Okay,
I think it's Elite Eight.
Now let me ask you this one: Clippers 2012 Game 7.
So I was in the building for that one.
I was too, covering it. Is that humiliating? And
you remember that game being more competitive than I do?
It was not competitive. They were blown out from the start. They got a little closer in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, I just.
But was it humiliating or was it more just deflating and painful? I think it was more deflating and painful than humiliating.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right because, like, it's a game seven, but to me, it's like from the jump, the Grizzlies were never in it.
It was awful. A Drexel, again, that's a loss. A Drexel loss, that was a first round loss. Honestly, it wasn't that. It wasn't that bad. It was it a 5-12? It may have been a 5-12, honestly. It may have been just like this year. But it was one that stings, but I don't think it's humiliating. Okay, SMU by 27 last year in hoops. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of bad hoops losses, and they tend to all blend together. There's been a lot over the years. And then, listen, there was one Josh lost by 100 million to Oklahoma State, but that's Oklahoma State. So the ones that stick out are like, this one, I don't particularly remember the SMU by 27. Cincinnati 2017 in hoops, someone mentioned. Tulsa by 40 in hoops 2020, that was a bad one. The one you mentioned is the UT Martin loss. That was Justin Fuente's first game. Doesn't count.
Okay. I couldn't remember if that
doesn't
was
count.
There. Yeah.
Doesn't count. Like, it was interrupted by a thunderstorm. It's a bad one, but a first game can't be the most humiliating.
Yeah.
Because your first game. Didn't Nick Saban lose his first game?
No, because they started like 6-0 or 5-0. They lost to Monroe that year.
Can the CBU exhibition game count given that it's an exhibition game?
So that was my hang up is it's an exhibition. Like, I know it happened and I know it's the stuff of lore, but I don't know, man. It's an exhibition game. It's tough for me to put that in the same category.
Okay. How about this one? Someone mentioned, again, I don't think there's anything humiliating about this, but I forgot. It's in that same Clippers series, game one.
The big lead.
Was it a 27-point comeback? Someone said the game one comeback in 2012, they may have blown a 27-point lead in that game.
Yeah, but again, humiliating. I think they flipped around and then they had a big comeback. Like, it kind of evened out in that series.
Yeah, I don't think those. I honestly think the two most humiliating losses I can think of are still, well, honestly, there's the Lakers 2 years ago. You lose by 40. It's the Lakers, so everyone's watching, and you've had the Dylan Brooks stuff, right?
Yes.
You have this high-flying, big-talking team get completely humbled. I think that was as humiliating as losing by 51 to Oklahoma City.
That one is definitely up there.
And then I think the Arkansas State one, 47-3. You lose 47-3 to Arkansas State in football, and you know what happens? Not only does the coach get fired, the AD is out at the end of the year too. That's how bad it was. And so I think those are the ones that I think there's a big three. I think there's Sunday. I think there's the 40-point loss to the Lakers, and I think there's the 47-3 game against Arkansas State. That's my final answer. We got to take a break. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. after that. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The place to go. It's the number one place, Robert Irwin Jewelers, to buy diamond engagement rings. That's where Jeffrey went. I was there recently buying diamond earrings for Claire. They're obsessive about diamonds at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And if you head on in there to buy your engagement ring, if you can dream it, they can make it, bring in a picture, an idea, whatever else. But there's a whole lot of reasons to go there. You've got a vast assortment of natural diamonds and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. You get the peace of mind, and this is critical, a 365-day, no-questions-asked return policy. Kind of extraordinary. Plus, a free ring sizing for life, free jewelry spa service for life, and terrific financing options, 24 months deferred interest, or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Honestly, they also just make the whole experience easy. You know, it's a big purchase, and they make the whole thing incredibly easy. They got five locations, Perkins Extended in East Memphis, Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center in South Haven, two locations in the Little Rock area. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers, rijewelers.com. On the subject of the Grizzlies, Jeffrey, I don't know if you saw this, anonymous player poll up at The Athletic. A whole bunch of stuff. Who's MVP? SGA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is who's gonna win the title? Not your own team. Can't vote for your own team. Overwhelmingly, the Celtics, 57.7%. Oklahoma City, 17.5%. But here you go. Who will be the face of the league in 5 years? Guess, Jeffrey.
Wemby,
54%. Who do you think was second?
Anthony Edwards.
Bingo.
Okay.
And then Shai third. Ja did still get 2.2% of the votes, Jeffrey. So there you go. Along with then Jason Tatum, then Luka, then Paolo, then Cade Cunningham. Paolo, Cade Cunningham, and Ja all got 2.2% of the votes. Interesting is that Luka, again, anonymous player survey, only got 2.9% of the votes. League's most overrated player. Now, Kendrick Perkins would say Jaren Jackson Jr., evidently. He said most overhyped. Didn't he say that? Most
Indeed.
Overhyped. That's overhyped, overrated, same
did
thing.
Did he say overhyped big, or did he say overhyped?
He said he is the most overhyped player in the league.
Okay. So he won, right?
He's not won, weirdly. Now, I'll say there's no definitive winner here. There is no... The highest vote getter, 14.4% of the vote. There's no consensus on who is overhyped. Tyrese Halliburton. Then Rudy Gobert, then Trae Young, then Jimmy Butler, then Bradley Beal, Draymond Green, then at 4.4%, along tied with Bradley Beal, Draymond Green, and Julius Randle, is Ja Morant at 4.4%. Dylan makes an appearance on here at 2.2%. Jaren is, in fact, on this list at 2.2%, right there with LeBron James. Also, 2.2%. Also with Zion, 2.2%. So there you go. There's no consensus there. Most underrated player? I think you're gonna have a hard time getting this one. Maybe. If you get this one, I'll be.
Players respect guys that get stops.
Okay, that's not the correct answer. Correct. Cade Cunningham. Again, no big consensus. Although you're number two, Derek White.
Yeah.
7.4%. Norman Powell, 4.4%. But here you go. Cade Cunningham, 8.8%. Again, there's not a lot of consensus. Weirdly enough, Jaren gets more votes for most underrated, 2.9%, than he does for most overrated. So there you go. He is on this list as well. League's best organization.
So you and I would say the Thunder. The fact that you're asking it
They're
the way
two.
You do
they
makes
two.
Me believe it's not. Boston?
Golden State, then Boston, then Thunder, then Boston.
Okay.
Then the Clippers, honestly. The Grizzlies do make an appearance on the best organization. They're down a ways, but they are 1.5%, tied with the Mavs. Whoops. The Pacers, the Grizzlies, the T-Wolves, the Magic, and the Suns, all at 1.5%. So there you go. The league's worst organization.
Wizards.
Wizards are 2 at 20%. Hornets, 1 at 38%.
Okay, I can, yeah.
Pelicans, 3. Grizzlies also make an appearance on this one at 1.8%. There's a bunch who made an appearance at some minimal level at both. You know, the Grizzlies are on both lists. The Jazz are on both lists. I don't know why the Jazz would
Mavs,
be
right?
I would on the think. Best organization list, but they got 2.2%. Like, it's such a minuscule vote category here. Best coach in the league, you're going up against them tonight, Jeffrey. Grizz is going up against them tonight with 21.8%, then Kenny Atkinson, then Eric Spoelstra. Weirdly enough, two of the players on this list have been fired, two of the coaches, Michael Malone with 2% and Taylor Jenkins with 1.4%. Not a meaningful vote. Worst coach in the league.
Ooh.
Ryan Keefe, Mike Budenholzer, Doc Rivers, 1, 2, and 3. Michael Malone also makes an appearance on that list at 2.7%. The one winner every in a category every single year. The player in the league you would least like to fight is James Johnson, former Grizz, and he's now 38 years old. He's now 38 years old, still 63%. Sadly, the Grizzlies do not have someone on that list.
No Steven Adams?
Is Steven Adams? No, he is not. Let's just see on that list. It was James Johnson, Isaiah Stewart. Oh, there he is, Steven Adams, 3.
Okay.
Yeah, former Grizz. Lou Dort, Jalen Duren, Brooke Lopez, and Zion are next on that one. And then one interesting thing is, do you like the idea of changing to 10-minute quarters? 78.4% said no. But critically, I wanted to get to this one. Do you like the idea of shortening the season, Jeffrey? Do you like the idea of shortening the – would you be in favor of the shortening the regular season if it meant your salary would be smaller? What do you think? What do you think the yes-no split is there? Shortening the season
if your salary would be smaller. That is the...
If it meant your salary would be smaller.
I'm going to say like 90-10.
85.6%?
Yeah.
No.
No. That's
no.
This is where everyone gets lost in the whole shortening. Like the players...
No one wants it. The owners don't want less money and the players don't want less money. Literally nobody wants it. So there you go. All right. Enough of that. Go Grizz. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about it. Tickets available, by the way, over on the website for Thursday's game. The last stand, I sort of consider that Thursday's game to be. A couple of other things I wanted to get to, Jeffrey. One is, let's hear the NFL draft chime. Let me hear that chime. I read a story about the chime, Jeffrey.
Really?
Yeah. There's a story up at The Athletic about the chime. And what happened was... Like, the draft has been around for forever. The chime has not. But the chime is now part of, it's every bit as much of a...
Synonymous with the draft.
It's synonymous with the draft. And now any draft. The same chime is used for the NBA draft. And what happens is that in the first round, they didn't need a chime. They do use the chime for the first round, but they didn't need a chime because people are watching. People watch at the podium, right? You go up to the podium, pick is in, whatever else. You didn't really need a chime. But later on in the draft, the draft becomes, in most households who watch it, background.
Yes.
Right? And whatever. They're talking about whatever. They're running features. And the chime alerts you that something is happening. So they asked a guy named Bob Christensen to come up with something to alert people that they should pay attention. And he said he wanted it to be treble clef. He wanted to alert you without it being intrusive.
So like not air raid sirens.
It isn't exactly. And so they came up with this chime. Now they used it first. He came up with 15 to 20 different variations. and they used it first in the 2006 draft. Now, weirdly enough, they thought they didn't need it for this first round because you don't need a chime because people are watching,
sure.
Right? But they said, we're going to use it in the first round anyway because we want people to come to understand that it means the pick is in. But then for some reason, they didn't literally use it until the eighth pick of that draft. The Bills, as it happens, picked Dante Whitner, the safety.
Who could forget?
I remember Dante Whitner. It was a reach. He was a decent player. Never lived up to that status. That's the first time it was used.
I'm surprised 06. I swear it felt like it was before
that. What's that? You thought it was longer than that?
Yeah.
Nope, 2006. And in fact, it wasn't used for every first round pick starting, I think, 2009 or something like that. But there you go. Now it is synonymous with the draft. If you died and knew that your one contribution to the world was the chime, that wouldn't be a
legacy.
That's what they call a legacy. That would be a life well led. And then in the other news, Jeffrey, I do want to mention it before we get Chris Harrington coming up next. We had essentially what amounts to a trade in college football.
Yes,
as Nico goes to UCLA and coming back the other way. And by the way, his brother Madden.
I would say it was technically a three-team.
Yeah, it was a three-team deal.
Yeah.
His brother Madden, who was committed to Arkansas, showed up at Arkansas. Had been there for spring practice. Madden also goes to UCLA. Madden had been committed to UCLA. He did decommitted from UCLA because he said he wanted to go be closer to his brother.
Right.
His brother was in Knoxville.
Because Fayetteville and Knoxville went to Arkansas, super right close.
And now they're both going to be at UCLA. But Joey Aguiar, who was the quarterback from App State, who then went to UCLA, is being displaced by Nico at UCLA and is coming back to Tennessee. I ask you, Jeffrey, maybe you've seen more App State football than I have. What kind of trade was this from Tennessee's perspective? Are they going to get as good a quarterback? And is he even going to be the starter?
No, I would suspect you're not paying somebody seven figures to be your backup. Is he better than Nico? No. But that was kind of the problem. Like, this was you and
I. Is he a close facsimile? Is he a.
App was fine. I mean, the same complaints you're going to have about Nico, which was accuracy. Joey
threw too many picks.
Yeah. If you're worried about accuracy, Joey has the same problem, and Joey's not nearly the physical freak that he is. I mean, this was.
That's the problem with Tennessee. Go Tennessee.
Yeah, like
you tell them
happy,
no one's bigger than Tennessee, but if you freaking lose a game, how happy are you going to be this fall?
They're not going to be better.
They didn't upgrade.
No.
And does anyone really care? Wouldn't you, if you were a Tennessee fan, wouldn't you have been happier actually if they had just quietly capitulated and gave them the money?
This would be the argument. There has been a decent amount of movement in this last portal window. And if you could take the money that was set aside for Nico and use it to go get a couple other weapons, like maybe that makes them better. Because like I do contend part of the problem with Nico and the frustration with Nico is I didn't see a lot of receivers that were wide open.
No. It's one of the criticisms, by the way, that is that everyone knew this was about money in the end, but you heard rumblings from the family that they wanted the offense better. And people laughed at that because a hypo offense is a well-regarded offense, but the weapons aren't particularly well-regarded.
No.
I believe that to be true. All right, we got Chris Harrington coming up next. Before then, I will tell you that if you were selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. I met with him myself. Couldn't have been more impressed. I'd heard a lot about him, heard Gary talking about him. Never met him myself. So I met him here in the conference room, and he just blows you away with the way that he will market your home. Also, among other things, we'll make an instant, immediate cash offer for your home if that's the way you want to go. Kyle and Amanda, there are a couple out there. They're selling their house. They didn't want to, you know, go through the rigmarole of having to stage it and having to fix it up and all of that stuff. So they called Josh Hysaw. Again, the phone number is 901-461-8147. Met with him. He comes out. He looks at the value of the home and gives him an offer for the full value of the home with, by the way, up to 4 months to then leave. And so they can leave at their leisure and they don't have to go through all the trouble that you would. That's just one of the things he offers. Flexible freeze is another. No upfront cost. Let you out of contract anytime. It's Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. Chris Herndon coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.